Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
Hello and welcome to the Bachelor Podcast. I'm Kay York City.
And I am Jared Fried. It is so good to be back here with you, Kay York. We have a very special guest this episode. Before we get into doing a recap of Colton's opening episode and subsequent season, we are joined by one of his contestants, a good friend of yours, Kay.
Yeah, Katie Morton is here. She was on Colton's season, and we actually spent time together in London and actually in New York as well. So I'm so happy you could be here.
Yeah, same. Thanks, guys, for having me. This is fun.
What's going on in London, first of all? You live in London now. How long have you lived there? What do you do there? What's going on? This is a look back episode, so we want to be caught up with Katie Morton since she left the Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise fame, so to speak.
Yeah. So I live in London. I fell in love with London as a city and was like, I really want to stay, but I need a visa. So I decided to get my master's, which is just such an interesting way to get a visa. But anyway, so I'm bopping around London, loving it. This will probably be my last summer. Don't know where I'm going to go next, but I do know that I love the big city. I never, ever thought about living in New York before. And London's the only place that ever made me think I could probably do New York because I love the whole how you can get around and everyone sees each other everywhere. It's like a big city, but it's so small. So yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm still doing content creation.
London's the best. What did you get your master's in?
Business.
Yeah, I know. I remember she was telling me about this. She's like, I'm getting my master's so I can stay and have a visa. Because it's not easy to have a visa in the UK.
No,
it's really not.
I'm like, why are we making it so impossible? I'm trying to give you my money. Just take it. Like, just take it.
My money.
Yeah, so I was like, fine, I guess I'll go back to school. I was lucky and got a full scholarship. So I was like, nice, free school. America wouldn't know about it. And then,
oh my God,
yeah, decided to get my master's in business, which has been a journey. It's been quite easy until I get to like the paper writing. Then I'm like, oh yeah, this is why I wasn't coming back to school. But I'm a crammer, and then I just get it done and I live my life and I'm lucky to have it.
I am not a paper writer. The thought like that gave me goosebumps, like right up my arms. The thought of having to like write a paper right now.
The kids these days have it easy because I just go into ChatGPT and I don't make it write my paper, but I have it do the whole outline and then I'm just filling in the blanks.
I hope the professor's not listening.
Well, no, they know. As long as you don't, they have like AI checking software. So as long as it just gives you the outline, it's totally fine as long as it doesn't write it for you.
Unbelievable. Like, well, we're happy that you're getting... We're happy you and AI are getting through business school together. You probably haven't watched The Bachelor ever? Have you, or since it aired? How long has it been since you've thought of this season or watched anything from it? How long has it's been a minute, right?
It's been a while.
It's funny because I literally watched you last night and the opening scene of you dancing. And now you're like, I'm getting my MBA in London. Like, it is wild. And the dance moves, I got to say, Katie, that might have been the funniest part of the whole episode, because I got to put you against Leslie, the Golden Bachelor, like in a dance competition, because there wasn't much dancing. I got to say, it was much. What's your dance history? What was the dance plan? Because listen, I you dancing, I was like, is this her profession? Like, what's going on? It wasn't, and I don't want to be mean. It was like,
no,
you literally like moved your head and you were like, I'm a dancer. And I was like, I guess I believe you. I don't know. What was that?
I know exactly what you're saying, because when I saw it, I died, because that was my first time ever. That was like the actual first time ever being in front of cameras, and they were like, uh-huh. Okay, so you're a dancer. And I'm like, yeah. And as a professional dancer, which I had been for many years, I wasn't a choreographer. I was constantly being told what to do. So I'm really good at learning a dance and doing a dance. So they're like, all right, great. We're going to meet you at whatever gym. They told me to meet them at a gym. I'm like, a gym? Well, this is already out of pocket. So I'm like, okay, we meet at a gym. They're like, let's turn on some music. And it had to be low music because it can't be all up in the camera. So I'm like, we're listening to low music on an iPhone, me just looking at myself in the mirror in a gym. I'm uncomfortable. And then, so I'm just like kind of bopping like this. And I'm like, guys, I can't do it. I can't do it. And they're like, it might not even be used. I'm like, fine, I'll just bop around. And maybe, hopefully they just won't use it because I'm going to just do bad. And they were like, let's use it.
I think in your defense, I agree. It is, if you are a dancer, you are a dancer and not a choreographer. You know what I mean? There's a difference. No. I mean, there's no way that, I mean, it's really hard to do choreography if you don't have it.
Yeah, and I get it. I could have definitely done better, but I was like, I'm just going to not do as well, and then they won't have to use it because I won't even look professional. And they were like, let's capitalize on this comedy.
Right. I'm so happy I brought this up, because I was like watching this and I'm going, what is going on here? This is wild.
Sad.
And and now the way you explain it, if anyone, because this is the fun of looking back at it. Like if you're listening at home, you're like, oh my God, go turn on Hulu. It's within the first 10 minutes. Is just Katie in this like, and as you describe it, is exactly how it was. It's like this weird gym. And you kind of do one head thing, and then they're like, okay, professional dancer. And I'm like, what is happening here? And so even before this, there's something when you watch the episode one of Colton's season, very noticeably, it is at the mountaintop of popularity. We actually have a video of you on Ellen leading up to the show. You went on Ellen to meet Colton. So, and you can go find this. It's on YouTube. And you and Sydney and another woman who I'm not remembering her name right now, but Annie, are on top of this big box where below your feet a button could be pressed and you're just like dropped into oblivion. Now, two questions based on this. One, could you feel how big the show was as you were leading in? And two, how was Ellen, and did you meet Colton prior to being on a box before getting dropped to your imminent doom? Because that is something, when you watch the first episode, it's bigger than it is now. It's bigger than it was. We just did Caitlin Bristow's season. It is legitimately, it feels like you're on Times Square on New Year's Eve. So it feels like the country was legitimately talking about this show. Like, it's like felt like front page news. Could you feel that?
This is the apex of The Bachelor, I feel like.
Right.
I think I did feel like it was big because, well, first of all, at that point when I was going on the Ellen show, we had already been sequestered in our hotel rooms alone with no phones, but we had the TV. Mm-hmm. And that had been 2 days. And what I was, and this is a little sad, but what I was most excited about was being able to get out of my room. And so I was like, yay, I get to get out of my room for a bit. And then I'm like, oh, shoot, I'm going on the Ellen show. Like, hello, forget getting out of your room. You're going on the Ellen show.
Did they tell you? Did they tell you you were going on the Ellen show when they were bringing you out of your room?
Yeah, my producer came in and told me. And I like screamed. And then in the limo on the way there, it was, I think it was just me in the limo. So we must have had three separate limos.
Hold on. Before you go forward, you get brought to LA to do the show. And then they sequester you. And then they go, okay, the show starts in 3 days, but you have to stay in your room for the next whatever days. And then someone shows up at your door and says, you've been chosen to go on Ellen before we even start. Is that how it goes?
Yes. Yeah. So my producer had been coming in a couple times because you do have to do the like, hi, I'm Katie and I'm 25 or whatever, right. You know, so you have to go and get in.
And you have to do the Macarena in a gym.
Mm-hmm. So that's even before, mm-hmm. But like they come in for a couple things, couple questions. And she was like, hey, I've got a question for you. Would you want to go on Ellen? And I was like, obviously, like, let's go.
I'm saying here no. For the game.
I'm like, no, certainly not. I'm about to go on reality television, but certainly not Ellen. So,
right.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, obviously. So yeah, it did start. I think in the moment when I was in the limo on the way to Ellen, that's when I was like, okay, this is kind of big.
Okay. So you could feel it.
I could feel it then. I could feel it when my producer came in and said, we don't usually do this, but like, you're going to go to Ellen. And then my producer was like, I'm excited because I get to go. She was really, the way she was excited that she got to do something so different than they've ever done showed me that I was like, this show is big. Like, why aren't you chilling about this? And she was just so excited that I was like, her being excited leads me to believe that there are like big things happening.
Yeah, I mean, the producer was probably like, fuck Thailand, take me to Ellen. I want to go to Ellen. Give me something new.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have a question about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but you can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. So free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service, and for just $98 a month, you can get your choice of any 6 styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. Get fast, free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. No laundry for you to worry about. And always have the option to buy what you love for sometimes up to 75% off. Nuuly is a great value of $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up using the code BACHELOR20. Just go to NUULY.com, that's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code BACHELOR20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with the code BACHELOR20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental, change your clothes.
I mean, Ellen, biggest show in daytime at the time, you know, The Bachelor is now on the similar level. Like, you're a segment on the biggest show in daytime. I mean, when they did that segment, so you'd never seen Colton before that segment even happened.
No, I'd not seen Colton before. And mind you, at this time, I don't think they hadn't even announced the cast yet, because that was the 3 or 4 days where we were taking our cast photos. So we were the first three girls announced by being on Ellen. It was like the world sneak peek to three girls that are going to be on the show.
And it's a few months before the show even airs because you're taping night one. You're there to tape night one at the mansion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see him in real life. You knew his backstory as far as being a virgin, which is like they talk about to no ends on this episode. Like
relentless. Were
you like, this is awkward?
Yeah. I mean, the amount of times they wanted us to do like the, you know, everyone has an intro coming out of the limo, and the amount of times they're just like, what are you going to say? And I felt like I had cuter ideas than what I did, but they kept pushing the virginity. They just kept pushing it. They wanted so many people to do the virginity thing. And I was like, good God. Yeah, I was tiring. I was like, this is not the best, but we're rolling.
Right. It's hard to, you know, I don't want to get in the business of like, you know, shaming everyone based on today's knowledge, you know, like I, because it was like, it was also like, you know, I, cause I watched it and it was more funny to me than like, how could you? Like, I remember that was the one thing about him, and it didn't like now knowing, you know, now him coming out of the closet and being gay and now married, you know, like it's a totally different world than we lived in then. Yeah. And it's pre-COVID. Which is another thing that was like very evident when you watch it.
Yeah, we really lucked out. Like we got such a big show. We got so many privileges. We got so much travel. It was really crazy. It was really crazy. So I mean, I feel like they went so big. It was like blast off. And then COVID happened basically. So yeah, I had not seen him. So my first time seeing him is when they opened the curtains and I'm standing on that box. Mm-hmm. And the Ellen show looking down at him and Ellen. And we were all really, really nervous. But I honestly think that I preferred that because it was like a good icebreaker to do in like a group rather than just like first stepping out of the limo. Because when I first stepped out of the limo, I felt like my nerves, even though he maybe didn't remember me, whatever, my nerves were already kind of halfway gone because I felt like, oh, okay, we've seen each other before.
Imagine him not remembering you and it was like 3 days prior. I'm like, I keep thinking about this like box thing and not meeting him. Did you like, had you seen the show before? Were you a fan of the show before going on it?
I started watching the show. Yeah, I was like a little bit of a fan. I started watching the show like maybe like 2 years prior. Just, I was very recent. Mm. Like JoJo? Or something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the same. I started watching this show like a few years before, and this was the first season I started recapping. So this was like my intro season to this podcast. Wow. It was,
yeah.
That's so seeing good this, season. Like, you know, it was a good season, but seeing the, you know, the watch parties, I texted Jared last night when I was watching the episode. I was like, this shit is crazy, especially like looking back at what we know now with Colton and then seeing these watch parties and the craze, like this really was the top prime. We got so many people out of this season. It's amazing.
You're happy with how it went? Was there anything that you would like do differently?
Honestly, in hindsight, I'm really happy with how it went. I loved every part of it. I loved the travel. I loved all the friends I was making. There was obviously there was this lack of chemistry, which I was for obvious reasons, but like I was like really battling myself here because I was like, either he's lying to y'all, you're lying to me, or he's lying to himself, because I kept being told how much, you know, he likes you. And I was like, I know when someone likes me and it doesn't feel like this. And I was like, I swear to God, it does not feel like this. And I was like, I just know it. So I started getting in my own head, not because I really wanted him to like me, but because I was like, now this doesn't, I don't remember it feeling like this. And
you're like gaslighting yourself into thinking that he's liking you. Yeah.
I was like, apparently he like, Katie, he likes you, just like believe it. And I was like, no, he doesn't. So that part, I feel like I could have just let that go a little bit.
You're saying that producers are telling you he likes you. You're telling them that I don't really, I'm enjoying his company, but I don't really feel like he's liking me like that. Is that kind of who you're talking about?
Yeah. I was kind of like I was like, I don't think he likes me, because they were like, do you feel like you're falling in love? And I'm like, the thing about falling in love is that we'd have to be falling in like. I was like, I'm sorry. Like, it was hard because I kept going further and further. And I think it's because we liked each other as maybe humans, but like, and we were having a good time. And there were way more people on there that were being really annoying and kind of, you know, a little bitchy.
Explain that as far as who's being annoying. Like, how?
It's hard to say, because to me, some of it was common sense, but it wasn't for some people. Like, okay, there's a production going on. He doesn't have full control of every time, all the time he gets to spend with people. Producers are making choices for him. Clearly, like, executive producers are making choices. Like, they're not, everything is in his control. So I think girls would be like, why isn't he wanting to spend more time with me? Or like kind of even saying that to him. Like, don't you want to, you know, saying things like that were out of his control and kind of being more complaining about it and not using their time wisely. So now he only sees them as girls who are just sitting here complaining about things he can't control. And and they were, the same girls were complaining about it in the group, like in the girls group. And so we're just like, you can't really, it's stuff. It's literally not him. It's not us. It's just, this is how this thing is. Obviously, this is how it's run. And I think that was like, people were dropping like flies just because of that.
So you were kind of locked in to the whole we're on a TV show type of thing.
I definitely was like, oh, there's a production happening. I think I was hyper aware. And some part of me in hindsight wishes I was a little less aware, but it's just who I am. Like, even walking in the first night, I think so many people were so like, oh, like struck like by all the lights and everything. And I don't know, I've performed on stages with just as many lights. And I was like, huh, this is going to make it real hot in here. Like, I was just like, we're about to get real hot with all these lights. And I'm just thinking, like, all of us girls in all of our dresses and all of our makeup, we're going to be so hot in here if we have to sit in this room with all these lights. And some of the girls were just like, I don't know, I can't explain it, but you could just tell how aware they were. And I was also aware, but I think I got more comfortable more quickly with the camera situation.
Well, it being kind of the height of like the, you know, I would say that this is the height of like being here for the wrong reasons, like because you going into this show, you kind of know that this is like, it's on, you know, people have gotten careers out of this, like you've kind of seen that happen for other people. Could you and that could be something that could come out of this? Could you feel that there were people there that you go, oh, this is the first step towards a different career path for them? Could you feel that, like the wrong reason stuff?
I think when you first walk in, no, because we're all essentially there for an experience. Like, can we really say we're definitely going to fall in love? Like, I would like to. It's like, ideally, sure. But the people I would say are maybe not there for all of the right reasons when you first walk in are those that are like, in London, they would say taking the piss, like wearing a crazy costume and then not changing out of said costume for the rest of the night. You
the
know,
sloth.
Like, and then just going ham Sam on drinks. Like, okay, we're just having a good, okay, we're at a frat party. Like, that's what we're doing here. So, but those kind of things never bothered me because I was like, they're going to go home.
They're messing around.
Yeah.
I know.
It's fine. It was a good time.
You know, so you get towards the end and you're like, I don't think there's a connection here. I'll ride this out until he gets rid of me type of thing. Yeah. Were you hearing that from the other women as well? Was there the same, like, you know, people you were friendly with where you're like, hey, like, I'm not getting a good read here.
Yeah.
Like, and this isn't to talk shit on Colton. This is to say, like, you know, you're missing a variable. You're like, what am I missing here? Were there other people having kind of a similar experience?
Yeah, there were. A girl that was my roommate in Vietnam, I was like, well, I'm going home tonight, everybody. I can tell. And they were like, Katie, no, you're not. You're being crazy. And I was like, no, I actually want to have a dance party. Like, I want to like do something fun tonight because I know I'll be going home at the rose ceremony tomorrow. And they were like, you're being crazy. And then one of the girls was like, no, it's me, because there's no way he's keeping me. I don't know why he's kept me so long. I'm like, girl, me neither, but I know I'm on my last straw. And I was like hearing what some of these other girls are saying. There was like, you know, three or four girls that are just like, I think I'm falling for him. And I was like, really? Well, I'm surely going soon. And so, there was at one point in Vietnam, it was Vietnam where there was a strong divide between girls that were falling in love and girls that were wondering when am I leaving? When is it my turn? Because we're on a tick. It's like a ticking time bomb here, because those girls are falling in love and we are just here.
So, right. Yeah. It's kind of, I guess it would kind of feel like, you know, for the girls who are like, when are we going home? It's like, you're waiting on like mom and dad to like end the party, you know, like you're waiting for them to go, okay, time to go to bed, wrap it up, because you're just like, let me have as much vacation as I can get. Let me have as much Vietnam as I can get, right? Is that kind of the feeling?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as much as we all really adored Colton, because we did think he was really, like, I don't know him well, but, like, I thought he was really sweet. Like, he was really funny. Mm. He was witty. I think he got annoyed at same parts of production we all did, and he was able to, like, relate to us on a few things when we had time to be around him. But ultimately, like, some girls really seem to be pulling away and going towards this like love direction. And then some of us were like, nothing's progressed. Right. Like,
in the market for investment worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
I wonder why we're still coming on these trips.
I don't think this is something that we've really talked about before with someone, is just like the fact that, all right, we're here. We know there's not really a connection. I think it kind of grounds us a little bit to like,
yeah,
because seeing everybody, especially this past season with Joey, everybody was falling in love. Everybody really liked Joey. And I'm like, really? I struggled to believe that everybody did. Obviously, like, Joey is amazing, but having that deep connection with so many people is very
that's difficult.
Unbelievable. So I like hearing that there are people that are honed in with reality, and like that we're not gonna have anything, but I'm gonna stay.
This is fun. Yeah, and it's not like I'm not gonna self-eliminate right now. Like, there was a part of you that was still like, so does he like me? Like, I'm lost. But I will say our season is so different too, because yes, Colton is gay. And so I wonder how much, I mean, that had to have been playing into it in the background. And I used to think some of it must have made sense, the fact that some of us were really, really not connecting. And not even just because he's gay, because there's lots of straight men that I just like, you just don't like them like that, you know? And
yeah,
but I'm sure with our season, definitely more people, because I think that there are some straight men that don't like you and they'll still make out with you. They're still going to make out with you and they're going to love it. And so, but I was like, Big dog got to eat. I was like, but I'm not feeling like Colton's loving these makeouts. I was like, because the producers would be like, he really likes you. I'm like, I know a lot of people that even almost halfway like me. And they definitely like making out with me, even if they don't really like me. This guy doesn't even like making out with me. And so there's something up, right? But like, I wasn't thinking he's gay. I was just thinking there's something off. And I think there was a,
right.
And not with him, just with the chemistry. So I think there were a couple of girls that were like, our chemistry's not quite there. And it's not mm-hmm. him, it's not me. It's just like, there's something missing.
And it's even possible that he didn't even know, but he just was unsure. And that holds you back from, like, you know, mm-hmm. having a kiss with someone. You know, like, that could even, he's questioning everything, and he's not even sure what he's questioning, I'm sure. I mean, I gotta say, his position is the least enviable thing in the world. Like, to be on that show, not totally sure of who you are.
And to feel, like, the pressure of letting people down. Like, I feel like that's just such an added pressure to feel like you don't want to break people's hearts or let people down. And then there's that pressure of, like, not even just letting them down romantically, but like, okay, they put their jobs on hold. They put their life on hold. Like, I know that for someone, especially someone like him, who seems to have been like a performer his whole life, or like an achiever in terms of sports and other things, like to like lose in some way must just feel like a huge weight on your shoulders. So I really can't imagine.
Especially when you don't know the reasons why 100%. Like, I didn't really get the vibe watching this episode that he was like hiding something as much as it was he was just confused, because the one thing he did on the episode, you could see, like, every time a woman showed up, he would just compliment them right away. Like, and it was just a very, like, surface level compliment.
Yeah.
I love your dress. You look great tonight. Blah, blah. Very.
It was very, like, not depthy, but like it just came out right away, like without even breathing. And you go,
yeah.
And it kind of felt like, okay, at least I know I got that. Like you said, like as a competitor, it's like, okay, that's a point on the board, you know?
Right. It's like a checklist.
Right. Now, you were involved in a little bit of drama that you go to the women's tell all. And there was like a talk of you overhearing people planning and plotting as far as who would become the Bachelorette and who would win and who would, you know, do you remember that? Like, did it feel weird to be involved in that? How do you remember that going down?
Gosh, I remember it not as clearly now, but I remember it pretty clearly. I remember it pretty clearly, but like not as clearly as I once did. But I remember being on the bus. I remember it was Kaylin and Cassie. Mm-hmm. And now it's weird because like now I'm friends with them. And I mean, I have no ill will towards either of them. But I think just like in that heightened state when you're so stressed and you're like, Jesus, you're already talking about what you would do if one of you was Bachelorette. But I think honestly, in their defense, it was like they were so close by that point, and they knew that they were both close with Colton, that they were almost probably trying to soften each other's blow by being like, well, one of us is probably gonna win, and so maybe you can be Bachelorette. It was like, I think it was more them being like, here's your consolation prize, sis.
What it was.
I think it was less like a plan. But in that moment, I'm like overhearing it. And I'm like, this is pissing me off. And I'm, you know, you're 2 months out. You're annoyed. It was mentally taxing. But I think in hindsight, it was probably just one of them being like, well, it's probably going to be me, but you can be Bachelorette. you know, or like just trying to be like, Or maybe it's me, but then you'll be Bachelorette or something. Like, I just feel like it was probably more them being nervous and anxious about the fact that they were both equally kind of getting close, but they were also close as friends at that point. And they were kind of trying to make each other and themselves feel better about the situation.
Feel better.
Yeah. But me, just being a listener, being like, ugh, well, that's annoying.
Yeah, it'd be annoying. Yeah, it'd be annoying.
Like, that's annoying.
That.
Like, you think it's going to be you?
No.
What about me? No.
Right.
I'm just kidding.
Right. Why wouldn't it be me? Why wouldn't I be the star of this show? We're all in this show together. Yeah. Why wouldn't my...
I think there was a lot of us by that point, which I think is what where the annoying part set in. But there was people... That was the time when I think you could tell people had... That was around Singapore, like week 3, week 4. That's when you could kind of tell that Colton definitely was getting a thing for Cassie in Singapore and for Kaylin as well. Because I think that was Kaylin's one-on-one. It wasn't Cassie's one-on-one, but Cassie had like a moment with him or something, I remember. And I remember that's when Cassie started falling because we were both in the little twin beds together. We're like, they had like 13 cots in the freaking Fairmont. 13 cots
oh
lined
my
up.
God.
We're all sleeping together in the Fairmont. 13 people in a room. And me and Cassie are right next to each other on the tail end of it. And she looks at me in the middle of the night and goes, "I'm scared." I was like, "Are you good?" And she's like,
"This is a show that had a 3-city-wide viewing party with you know, that they can't get you your own rooms?
No. Cots? 13, wow. 13 people in one room? That should be illegal.
I will say it was a big room. The room had a sauna and everything. Like, it was big.
As long as it was a big...
What I'm envisioning is literal, like, special forces, like... JoJo Siwa laying on your little like army green cot with your backpack next to you. Like, that's what I'm seeing in
my
head.
It was a little something similar, except for much, it was like a posh version of that, considering we were at the top of the Fairmont.
Yeah, true.
On like nice cots. We were like, it was a mental military-esque.
Yes.
So Katie, are you seeing anyone now, and in your dating life, does The Bachelor come up?
I'm not seeing anyone now. And in my dating life, it does come up. I'm like, I'm not trying to give these people my last name at this point.
That's so funny.
I Google them, you know, and so they're going to Google me. Mm. So I'm just like, I don't want your last name as long as you don't ask for mine for like a little while. Like,
right. You think it would be less in the UK? Because I mean, I guess, do they have a Bachelor UK? I don't know.
Well, they don't. But if they were to search my name, it comes right up. And then they go,
"Oh yeah."
You know, and then I'm like, "There I am crying in paradise. There I am crying in Vietnam. You know, there I am crying. Just crying."
Like, is this you?
They're like, "So, it always starts. So, I did a little digging." And I'm like, "Here we go."
Here it comes. What is dating in London like for the listeners at home? Maybe someone's looking to make a move for themselves. Is it a good dating city, bad dating city? What do you think is the one thing that like separates it as far as a dating city?
Love the accents. However, London boys are quite timid. They're timid. Not really asking for, yeah, they're timid. They're like, maybe timid's not the word. They're reserved, really reserved. Mm. And it's just a British thing. And so it's difficult to just meet people out. Because even if you go to a pub, there'll be like 100 guys to 3 girls at a pub. They're not talking. They're not going to talk to you because people at pubs don't talk to each other. Like, you have to go up and you have to talk to them. When me and Kay were in London, we had to go up to talk to people because guys will literally stand there like staring at the ceiling like, "Oh, we don't see them. We don't see the ladies in here."
Nobody was talking to us. We were hands down the best looking girls in there. And nobody was saying anything. I was like, this is a joke. And so we had to do the approaching.
When you go to Europe, you realize how purely American bar culture is. You know, they have pubs, but the pubs are like, it feels like high school or everyone's like with their friends that they've had 1,000
years.
Yes,
and yes, exactly.
In America, like the idea of like pulling up to a bar with a friend, looking across, striking up a conversation. It's a very American thing. Like, I mean, I went to Europe alone and I didn't speak to one woman in all of Europe. So I...
Oh my God.
It's crazy. I think they looked at me, they're like, "No, Joe America Diet Coke, no thank you." But I... that was the vibe. But I understand what you mean. It's hard to find people who are like, looking to like talk to new people.
On the dating apps, and I'm sure this is happening in America, but I'm on the dating apps now. And I get in there and we'll match with someone and then we all just sit there and stare at each other in the room and no one speaks. Is that what's happening over there as well? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
We're all like, "Yay, we Same matched."
Thing. Are you on Raya?
I'm on both Hinge and Raya, but I just don't talk to anyone. I just will match and then I'm like, "That was nice knowing you."
Right. Raya's a dance party everyone wants to get into, but no one wants to dance. I mean, I think that's not just exclusive.
That was so good.
It's an ego thing.
Yeah.
They just want to know that they can pull and that's it.
Katie, this was a wonderful check-in. We're so happy things are going well. Getting your MBA, what an amazing, wonderful thing. Being in London, I agree with you, one of the best cities in the world. You know, that's not a hot take. That's just love. I love going there and hanging out. So, and I know Kay does, and you guys are partners in crime and do a little Kay's weekend, which is, we love that.
We did a Kay's weekend.
It is so nice to catch up with you, and it's such a cool thing to like hear context to all the things that we watched in episode one. So it's thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for having me on.
And where can everybody follow you? Give everybody information. What are you doing? What's going on? Make a plug. It's time.
Okay. Follow me on Instagram at Katie Emo. I know it's just Katie with two E's, M-O. And then on TikTok at Hello Katie Mo.
Thank you so much, Katie, for joining us.
Thank you, Katie.
And we will be recapping the episode right after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we are back, and I am Jared. Are you excited to talk about Colton's season like full out? Because we were texting yesterday about it, and
right.
I actually, seeing it in hindsight, is such a bizarre watch. What did you think about this? Did you watch this season in real time?
I watched the season in real time. I think I was, you know, I was definitely watching the season, recapping, tweeting about it. I wasn't doing the live stream yet, which now looking back, I'm like, what an opportunity missed, because this, what, and I know some people are listening to this. They're like, I'm not going to go watch, you know, some people are just going to listen to us talk about it and move on. I think you have to go watch episode one, which is a 3-hour event, but just watch the first hour, because the limo stuff, the stuff in the house, really, we're going to like kind of blow through that. I think the most interesting part is all the pomp and circumstance, all the celebration of The Bachelor. This really felt like you were at Times Square on New Year's Eve. The audience, the dome of the Undateables, is going wild. They have a viewing party in Dallas, Michigan, Utah, and LA, a 4-city nationwide event with correspondents from old seasons. We have Caitlin Bristow, JoJo, Ashley I, and Jared. We have Jason Tardik and Blake. I mean, and then they do a panel of alumni that includes Nick Viall. Like, there's just so much that your eyes widen, and all, you know, and as you watch it, you go, oh my God, this is pre-pandemic. It feels like another alternate reality that, like, it's like, it's gently askew from where we are mindset-wise now. Like, it doesn't seem like there's any, like, faking it or, like, worry about being, saying the wrong thing. Like, people are just talking. Didn't it feel weird?
The way Chris Harrison was even talking to Colton about being a virgin, he was like, do you think people aren't going to think you're ready to do this
right.
because you haven't had sex? You're not a man. He said, because people probably think you're not a man. And I'm like, oh my God. And just like the virginity comments, it was truly relentless. And you'd probably bring it up and say something about it, but it wouldn't be your entire personality trait.
I guess it would be said differently now, because I did have Colton on my podcast leading into, like, before he was named The Bachelor. And I remember we made tons, you know, he came on stage with me at the Comedy Works in Denver. We taped it. I made jokes to no ends about him being a virgin, because it was surprising. You have this good looking guy, you have this athlete, but we're also post I'm not going to out someone. Like, to say, like,
yeah,
you must be gay because you didn't have sex, that would be offensive, right? And you knew it then. And also, that wasn't my thought. I really, and I don't think, and again, if you watch this, and we talked about it with Katie, it didn't seem like someone with a secret he was hiding. It just felt like someone who just wasn't sure who they were.
Yeah, I mean, you could see it in his face that he just consistently looked lost or confused, or and not just nervous because he was doing a show, but nervous because he was puzzled about who he was as a person.
Right, and that was the big thing. They even started, and like, obviously this is easy for us to say looking back, but that's the fun of looking back, is you go, you kind of like, my jaw was on the ground. Like, and I think the one thing they brought up is, as far as not knowing who you are, is like the controversy seemed to be that if you haven't had sex, you weren't ready to get married. And that's kind of what they were saying. And I don't know. I don't know if I remember that being a controversy as much as a discussion or a fodder of like,
yeah,
like, could you get married to someone who hadn't been with someone physically yet? Mm-hmm. And that was, I do remember that being more of a discussion than a controversy. Like, the idea that this was like, how could he take the mantle, you know, with all this stuff, you know, without having had sex. Like, I didn't really remember that. But I just, like, you could tell this was The Bachelor. You know what it felt like? It felt like the scene in every drug movie where where the dealers are at their height. Like, they got the most money. They're living in the mansion. It's the scene in Blow before Johnny Depp gets arrested for the first time. Like, you know, and it felt like that for Chris Harrison.
Wolf of Wall Street, you know, and what's his name?
Very much.
Jordan Belfort, like, hit the jackpot. Yeah.
Right. This felt like we are at the party before a narrator comes on and was like, that was the best night of our lives. And it felt that way more so for Chris Harrison. Chris Harrison on this feels like he is fully, it feels like it is his show. It feels like it is his people to rule over. It feels like it is, we are at his kingdom and invited
his ball. He's throwing this ball.
It really does. And you're like, and then his mom is there, and his mom is like, I guess what I didn't realize is that this was like part opening episode, part coronation for Chris Harrison, a celebration. They even do a tribute.
Yeah, like a Chris Harrison through the years.
Right. And I was like, for no other reason other than to honor him. And the whole premise was, we will not show this footage unless we get 10,000 likes on an Instagram post. So to go back to like this being at its social media high, they say they're going to put up a picture on their social media. If it gets 10,000 likes, they will show this footage that we've never seen before. And then it gets over 150,000 likes, they say. Like, they crush it immediately.
And back then, that was a lot. Like, back then, you know, in 2019, that was,
right,
or 2018, that was a lot of likes.
Well, I don't think they were worried about getting those likes. I think it was more like, oh my God, look how popular this show is. That at their live show, they'd be like, get us. They are so confident that they're going to get over 10,000 likes because this became an actual segment on the show. And then the footage that we're like privy to seeing is how amazing Chris Harrison's life has been on this show. And then they come back to him. He's crying. He is literally like in tears. And like, his mom is like saying how much we love you. And if you didn't know what was coming down the road, like, I can understand why he'd be so angry.
Yeah.
You know, the way everything went down, because he even says on this show, he's like, this is, I love you. I love this. I love this show.
This is my family.
You know? Right. And it is like unbelievable to watch. What else did you think? Was there anything else that jumped out at you from the watch party?
I mean, the watch party and seeing, I think seeing all of these contestants and where they are now, like this was before Caitlin Bristow and Jason were dating. This was before, you know, JoJo got married and like before Jared and Ashley, I think, got married. Like it's all, and then seeing Crystal and Chris Randone in the hot tub, like a couple that, you know, they're like, okay, it worked for us. Here's my ring. We're getting a dog. And then they're no longer together. Crystal's a baby with someone else. So going back and seeing where everybody is now, that was the most entertaining thing to me.
Also who the producers took under their wing, because you can tell Caitlin is there co-hosting with JoJo. You could kind of see that, like, there's this, like, JoJo and Caitlin are hosting together. There's a little bit of, like, they didn't seem like a good duo in any sense.
No.
It seemed like two people trying to do their own thing and see who the camera would stay on more. You could kind of feel that JoJo probably, like, it felt like JoJo opted out of that world. Like, she was like, this ain't for me. And then, I mean, these are assumptions I'm making. Then you have Ashley, I, and Jared. Jared is like an 11. Like, he's like really trying to be a host of some sort.
Him and Jason Tardik were like, Jason's like, you guys, we're here. And like, right. Blake is standing next to him, says no words, but just holding the mic up to his mouth. And Jason's right. Having like a full blown, like, freak out.
I mean, and then we had this panel that somehow included Nick Viall. Nick Viall showing kind of like, this is what he does. He's just going to do, you know, he's dressed in Brooklyn hipster chic and going real low. You can tell he's that must be what people were wearing back then. So he's mirroring,
underplaying it all.
Right. He's the too cool to be there. Like,
yeah,
been here a thousand times guy. And he's wearing the clothes that maybe were, you know, that people were wearing at the time. You could tell this is what he does. And then they bring on, I mean, there was one point. So then there's two proposals. The proposals were wild. They were like, and the men proposing, and then they like go to Neil Lane is just in the background there. There was a point where it went from like Times Square on New Year's Eve to like, remember when Disney would do like the Magical World of Christmas parade? You do the Disney parade on Christmas Day. And then they'd be like, look, it's Goofy. Like, that's what it was with Neil Lane. Like, they look just pointing. And it's like, Neil Lane is here. And he's like,
I know.
Thumbs up. And that's his only appearance. Like, it was eye-opening. And Colton and his season was kind of a side dish to this whole celebration of The Bachelor.
Yeah, that's what the first episode felt like. And I truly forgot that this is what it was. And I turned it on. I was like, oh, shit, did I hit the wrong episode? Is this the finale?
Right.
Are we at after the final rose? I'm like, oh, this is the beginning? And I also didn't realize that it was 3 hours until I'm like, how fucking long is this show?
Right.
I'm like, when are we getting to the... And then I looked and I was like, oh, my God, it was a three-hour premiere. I'd forgotten because we don't do the three-hour premieres. It's 2 hours.
Three hours is
layout.
Great. And the Dome of the Undateables is at an 11 the whole time. So then we kind of finally get to the episode. The limos, here are the notable people that are in this season. Hannah G, who gets the first impression rose. Hannah Brown, who very much pageant. She says that she was there for Colton because she's only kissed her boyfriends. She said she had sex. She even mentions it in her promo. But then she's like, it's only been my boyfriends. You could tell she's very... And again, from Caitlin Bristow season, there's very much this like, here are conservatives, here are liberals. You know, like it's very black and white. There's Demi, whose mom is in jail, and they talk about that during her promo. Caitlin, who's also a pageant person who beat Hannah Brown in Miss USA.
Yeah.
There's Katie, who we just spoke to, and Katie does her dance moves, which were hilarious. Cassie, who ends up winning-ish. Heather, the never-been-kissed girl who showed up on Matt James' season. Tayshia, who is part of the first episode, but not, you know, not really. She's in it. You could tell, like, she's going to be a player in this season.
But is not like a front runner.
No, the idea that she's the Bachelorette at some point, you'd be surprised based on this first episode. And then there's Nicole from Miami, who, you know, Nicole, I still follow to this day. Fun, nice. She's great. And it was like, you know, there's a moment where you do like the Leonardo DiCaprio point at the TV meme. You're like, Nicole, you know, like, so that was cool. And then the entrances, none of them were memorable except for two to me. There was the sloth, which was annoying because, like, she doesn't even reveal who she is until, like, the last second.
No, until the end.
Right. And then she does this slow sloth thing. She's in a tree at one point. It's bizarre. And then the other one that was memorable was the woman who faked an Australian accent.
Yes. And Brie, I think, was her name.
Right. And much like Colton and not having sex was, like, a discussion thing, this was a discussion of, like, what good does it do you to do a fake Australian accent and then have to, you know, undo a lie when you actually meet them? And they actually bring her to the watch party because it was such a thing. I think in the run up to the show, they showed her doing a fake Australian accent as part of, like, the commercial campaign.
Yeah.
So it became such a discussion that they had her at the watch party. And I remember this was like a big...
They had on the couple that was on Bachelor in Paradise, but they were from Australia, and they brought them on to judge her accent. Again, that's just adding more people from this Bachelor universe to the show.
Right. When they said Bachelor Winter Games, I'm like, oh my God, this thing.
Oh,
was
Winter Games. Why? Oh my God. Right. Winter Games. It wasn't Paradise. It was Winter Games. Holy shit. They need to bring back Winter Games.
So the house stuff wasn't really that much stuff. Like, I would say all the stuff that happened at the house, like, as far as drama's concerned, it was so centered on these, like, this watch party, this Times Squareification of what this was, that the only drama was that this girl, Catherine interrupts other women four separate times. And unheard of. So what did you think of Kat? And then still gets a rose. What did you think of Catherine interrupting four different times? That was really the only drama.
I mean, I thought the Catherine stuff was like, who cares? I mean, four times is kind of crazy, but this is also a TV show and you got to do what you got to do if you want to. I mean, she ended up staying. She needed to get her face out there. And if that's, you know, what you have to do, then she did it and she stayed. Well, so
I don't know,
it wasn't enough to be like actual drama, to be honest.
Right. Well, I guess the one thing now looking back at it is like him and Cassie seem to really have this connection. And it was so like, again, if you were thinking in terms of like, you know, people who it felt very young the way they connected, like you're the nicest one to me on the playground. You have butterflies. You taught me, you know, sign language. Like it felt very like so innocent that like Catherine, who's got like the big lips and the dog and the red dress and the I'm from Fort Lauderdale, who then I went and looked up online. Catherine has like a following of her own. Does like she's in pictures with Machine Gun Kelly, like her most recent picture. Like it's like if you go look her up. Yeah.
What?
She's like got her own and she's still the same. The same Catherine is still living and breathing and dancing
and well.
In Fort Lauderdale. Yeah. So, yeah, when you talk about producer picks, you know, like this is like a, I think this episode is like in favor of that. I don't think that happens, but I do think like this is the one that makes you think it does the most that like, because he connected so much with Cassie in such a way. Excuse me. That it didn't seem like he could ever want to keep Catherine around. Like, it just didn't seem like he was what he was looking for.
I know. The only other thing that I took out of this, which we already kind of touched on, is just, like, the caliber of, like, the superstars of women came from this season.
Right.
I mean, you listed off all of them just now, and I'm just thinking, I'm like, wow, this all came from one specific season. I forgot that they all came from the season.
Well, you know, it goes into like, is it, you know, with these followings, is it timing or is it talent?
It's timing. I mean, even Katie, it wasn't a massive character who we just interviewed, but she has, you know, 300,000 something followers.
Right. And it's like, would, you know, now maybe one, two people come out of a show with a following. Maybe. This is, you know, this is like 10 people. Like, it's wild. And, you know, you think of like people who got big followings on TikTok in 2020. It's like, were they just there to be, was the following there to be had by anyone? You know, was it luck?
But yeah,
you know,
it's most timing.
Most things are timing, you know, like, you know, the people who created Uber, you know, only can do it if there's location technology on the phone, you know, like, this is timing. So, so the season goes on, and the big thing from it was that Cassie quit the competition after Hometowns because her dad came to Portugal and said that she really wasn't giving off, that she was really in it to win it. And this guy, Colton, really liked her. And then Colton basically had talked later about how on his Netflix show on the Coming Out Colton, he just talks about like how when Cassie turned him down, it was like, if it's not her, then it's nobody. And that's when he jumped over the fence. That was the big thing from the season.
I think he ended up, I think it was sort of like a Rachel Lindsay situation where he had already broken up with Hannah and Tayshia because he knew Cassie was the one. And then she's like, I got to go. And he's like, wait a minute.
Right.
I don't have, like, I don't think he had anybody left at that point. And that was like his last resort. But that's also who he wanted in general.
Right. And then they end up getting together as a couple. And then there was the drama with Cassie filed a restraining order in September 2020. She claims he put a tracking device on her car, came to her house and her parents' house unannounced, lingered in an alleyway nearby till 2 a.m. And then Underwood publicly came out as gay on April 14th, 2021, making him the first lead in the franchise history to publicly identify as gay. So
on Good Morning America, too, it wasn't just like a hey post on his Instagram. This is a Good Morning America interview.
Yeah. And Cassie never really, to my knowledge, maybe I'm wrong, but she never really like explained the restraining order, which is her right. But like, and it's a little, you know, it's weird to talk about now. You're just like, I don't know what that is. Like, you can't really defend that a restraining order was needed. You know, you can't really do that. But I remember at the time thinking, like, she never really said, like, oh, I get it. Like, which that's her right, you know? Like,
I mean, that's, and also, like, seeing it all sort of play out the way it did, because, I mean, even now, like, if you had, like, if some guy came out and there was a restraining order, the same situation right now, there'd be no way that they would be getting a platform like Good Morning America to, like, you know, talk about themselves and then a Netflix show. That's not really how.
I don't know. I mean, this is happening like, this isn't like 20 years ago, you know?
No. Like, it was really recent, but like it's so much keeps like, you know, changing as it should.
Right.
But, it's very interesting to look back on it and truly like, seeing all of it now, I did not see it when the show was airing in real time, but watching it back now, I'm like, oh my God. And like seeing Demi, there was a moment where Demi was like, oh, Colton is so into me. And I was like, yeah, he sure is.
I don't think he's as sure as you are. Let's do some quick final segments. Do some quick categories. Okay, fantasy suite, hometown, or final rose? Proposal at a viewing party, hot tub at a viewing party, lasting achievement montage at a viewing party.
Ooh, okay. Hot tub at a viewing party is final rose. Fantasy suite, montage, I guess just like let's get it done and over with. quick in and out. And then the proposal could be like a hometown, a sweet moment. I think that's mine.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think proposal at a viewing party is probably the fantasy suite, the least, the one I'd want. Get rid of the first. And then I'll take my lifetime achievement award at the viewing party. Why not? And then, yeah, I'd rather be in a hot tub over it. Yeah, the hot tub I'm taking as my final rose. I'd rather be in a hot tub this whole time than crying while my mom presents me with no award, you know?
Though imagine being in that hot tub for 3 hours. I can barely stay in a hot tub for like 30 minutes without going into like...
Right. The interviews of the people in the hot tub was like ridiculous. They're like, how is it? The girl was like, steamy. It's just like, what is this? The Idiot Factory? Yeah.
Yeah.
So what did you have?
All right. So mine are our top girls, Hannah B, Tayshia, and Hannah G. Fantasy suite, hometown, final rose with our top three girls.
It's going to be Fantasy Suite Hannah G, Hometown Tayshia, Final Rose Hannah B. Hannah B's unrelatable to me, but like...
Honestly, I'm aligned.
But like, I do think she's like wonderful. Like, she's never really broken her smile. Like, you know, and her on that drill sergeant show. Like, good for her. Like, she won that show. That's crazy.
Yeah, Hannah on Special Forces... That like that brought me back to Hannah fandom. Hannah B fandom was Special Forces. It's a great show. This is not an ad. I really like that show.
First impression, Rose?
I said Demi. I liked Demi from the beginning. She was fun. She also gave us that like edgy kind of vibe. She opened up about a lot of stuff, which most people wouldn't talk about. I think Demi was my first impression, Rose.
Mine was Chris Harrison. He was in his element. This was Chris Harrison's night.
Oh, yeah.
This
he was thriving.
This was his bar mitzvah.
His Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Bar mitzvah, even.
Villain of the week. Who did you have as the villain?
I hate saying this because it's not really villainous, but Colton, a little bit. I mean,
right.
It not as like, not as a villain. Villain's the wrong word, but... At the end of the day, it sort of negated this entire show.
Right. I mean, it's a different watch. It's a different thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, not like a villain, but I don't know. I don't know how else to say
it. I hear you. No, it's just, it's the, yeah, he ruined, he didn't ruin it, but whatever. I had COVID. Because it does feel like we watch a different show now due to COVID. You're like, why is this, like, why are we living in something? It does feel like we're on an alternate timeline from when this, if you watch this episode, you're like, these are the same, but different. Future in Paradise.
I had Tajwan, which she went home night one, but she had been on Paradise, I think twice.
Right.
Or has like made like multiple appearances on different seasons. And I did not realize she was a night one elimination girl, and she's been able to come back. So I'm very impressed with that.
Absolutely. I wish Catherine was just brought back for something. Like, I just kind of, I was like, yeah. I wanted more Catherine just because she was like peak delusion. She was like old school reality TV. I kind of wanted more of her. Cringe Harrison Award. What made you cringe?
Chris Harrison's mom, having his mom brutal. On there,
she was just kind of standing there ghostly, like she was haunting the place. It was very weird. She was dressed was differently strange. Than everyone else. Like, she didn't like, she looked like she was literally dropped in Operation Dumbo Drop style, just like from cooking dinner in her kitchen. Like, it was just very weird.
Yes.
I had the proposals. The proposals were wild. The one guy that said he stood on the roof with the antenna, his proposal, and she was already pregnant, and he kind of like, it took him a while to get to, like, I want to get married to you. So you're like, is he just telling her he loves her and he's happy that she's the mother of his kid? Like, and then her parents like came out of nowhere and they're hugging everyone. It was just like, Where'd her parents come from? It was just like a wild scene.
And like his proposal, like, I don't want to shit on anybody's proposal, but his proposal, he goes, he was like, I want you to be my partner in crime. Gets down on one knee. If you said that to me.
It was the worst proposal I've ever seen. They were already pregnant and he's like, you look, you're glowing. And everyone cheered and you're like, is he going to do this or not? Like, it was just.
Yeah. Wrap it up.
Yeah. All right. Who won the week?
Yeah. I mean, I agree. Our answers are essentially the exact same. I had the audience.
Right. I had think America.
That was a great, great episode watching it, but also the glamour and glitz and the drama of it was really good.
I'm going to give the rose this week to the listeners of this show who are being told to go watch this right now. It will be a fun watch for at least an hour.
It is a fun watch.
It is. You won. If you listen to this show, us telling you to go watch is a win for you. So,
yeah.
We did it.
All right. So we will be back next week for another recap. And we are recapping, get ready, Flavor of Love. We're going to watch the first episode of Flavor of Love. I haven't seen this in God knows how long.
It's been forever.
I'm really excited. I love Tiffany New York Pollard. I'm excited to see her in her element. So make sure you're following us on Instagram at Always On. You can follow me at K York City. And Jared, what's going on this week?
I'm in San Francisco this week and not a lot of tickets left. Then Pittsburgh and Columbus, there's a lot of tickets left. Then I'm in LA, there's a lot of tickets left. And New Orleans, Dallas, Nashville, West Hampton Beach, Milwaukee, Atlantic City, Newark, and then I added Cleveland, so jaredfried.com. We'll be back next week. The Bachelor Podcast is produced by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Jorge Morales-Pico. Social media by Amy Klackner. Guest booking by Ali Friedlander. And be sure to follow at The Bachelor on Instagram and Bachelor Pod on Twitter. And send us your emails to bachelor@betches.com.
Betches.